Well, we begin our series on commitment. And there are many words in the Bible that we could use to describe commitment, but it really boils down to this simple word, the word commitment. And this is, in our society, something that has really taken a toil, I would say. People look at the word commitment and they see it only from a legalistic point of view. They see it only as something that is something we do. And it's sad because we don't use, I find as a Lutheran pastor, I don't use the word commitment a lot. Only because it's usually on the side of the law, not on the side of the gospel. And yet, when you read the scriptures, in one of the books Sarah Gray gave to me, I've been reading, it talks about covenant. And it always starts with God's commitment to us rather than our commitment to God. It always starts with God's commitment, with his covenant to us, rather than what we have to do. And yet I have to confess to you, I shy away from the word because people often get nervous. They tend to get to almost, you know, think about guilt right away when you use the word commitment. Because how many of us have not lived up to our commitments? I mean, if we're honest about it, we haven't lived up to our commitments. And so it immediately starts giving us this kind of legalistic type feeling when we talk about commitment. And yet, I don't think you can read the scriptures without understanding what it means that God has committed to us and we're committed to him. What does commitment mean? Well, first of all, I want to talk about the four-letter words in the Bible. Have you know there's four-letter words in the Bible? Four-letter words being bad words. In our society, these are four-letter words. Covenant. Commitment. Sacrifice. Loyalty. You know, you understand what I'm saying here? These words do not really, you know, when you use these words, people look at you as if you're old-fashioned, archaic. Kind of like, why do you bring these things up? Because they're not really positive words. Service, submission, humility, and truth in the absolute sense. How many of you have tried to use these words and found people kind of glazed over when you use these words? They look at you like, really? I say, I'm a grandpa, so you know, you can expect this from me. But these are words that are so rich and biblical. They are words with tremendous meaning. They are words that can lead us to a great depth in our relationship with God. That's what it means from when Jesus is dealing with the Pharisee who asks about divorce. He says, from the beginning. We're not going to talk about where we are now because where we are now is depressing. Because it's a result of sin. It's a result of the fall. It's a result of our failure, it's a result of our lack of commitment, it's a result of what's happening around us. Where we are now is depressing. But he says, in the beginning, this is how he responds to them. He says, Moses wrote that rule about you could divorce your wife. Why? Because you had hard hearts, right? But he said, but from the beginning, God intended something better. He intended this covenant relationship, this covenant marriage, he intended it to be something that would last forever. He intended it to not be perverted by the world and sin and all the things that we have to deal with. He wanted it to be perfect. That was God's intention. And so we should not shy away from talking about what God intended because these are four-letter words and people don't want to hear them. If there's anybody who should paint the picture for what marriage and family and life should be, who is it? Us, right? Because we have the manual. We have the design. We have the truth. It's the Word of God. So commitment was God's design from the beginning. See this? I love this picture because who is the one who's really doing everything here? God, right? This guy's reaching up, but who is the action here? Who is that hand reaching down to us? What does the Bible say? It says that God draws us to himself, right? He says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. It's God who draws us. It's God who entered that covenant with Abram. It's God who entered the covenant with Israel. It's God who entered the covenant with us through his son's death on the cross and resurrection. It's God who is doing all of the work. All we're doing is receiving, right? See this little guy putting his hand up like, okay. It's like a child. Okay. But it's God who's reaching into our world. It's God who has a design for us. From the beginning, God has designed us. He has a desire to be in relationship with us. He has a desire to call us his own. He has a desire for us to be who he intended us to be. And that's why Jesus said to the Pharisee, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So what is God's design? Well, I like this quote. I was hoping Fred was going to be here because he liked this quote. This quote says, commitment is what transforms a promise into reality. Commitment is what helps us to understand that the promise that God has made to us does not change. God is unchangeable. When he says he loves us, it doesn't matter what we do. Does his love change? No. When he makes a covenant with us, when he brings us to himself through the waters of holy baptism, does he change his mind? No. God is faithful. God gives us a promise. But commitment is what makes that promise a reality. Because really, I mean, if we don't recognize and act as people of the covenant, as people who have this promise, as people who are children of the living God, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, a chosen people, if we don't act like that, are we really missing out? I think so. I think we're really missing out. So, covenant is God's design from the beginning. I quoted this out of this Derek Prince book. As each of these words, diatheke in Greek and brit in Hebrew, is regularly translated by two different English words, covenant and testament. The English word used in each case varies according to the context. And I thought that was important because we, as God's people, were designed from the very beginning to be in fellowship with God, right? We all understand this, right? In the Garden of Eden, there wasn't to be a division between us and God. When God walked in the garden at night, he wanted to be in fellowship with us. That's why he was so if you think about it, what it must have been like, even though God knows everything, he gave Adam the chance to fess up when Adam and Eve were hiding, right, after the fall. He comes into the garden as he has every evening, and he looks for them so he could spend time with them. God wants to be in relationship with us. And then God gives us marriage as an example of how he wants for us to be known by him. That song we sang that Bruce led, let us, you know, even as we're known. We may know even as we're known. It is a tremendous gift that God knows us. And he invites us to know him. So God's commitment to Abraham and now to us is God makes a commitment to us in covenant and the testament sealed with his blood. So it's that up and down relationship. I want to unpack this over the next 4 weeks. Is what does that look like? What does that mean? Because there's a depth here that if we understand it, we can grow in our appreciation for who we are in Christ Jesus and understand what he promises and how he wants to move in many and various ways among us. And marriage, I believe, is a great example of that, the marriage covenant. Our commitment out of this marriage or out of this covenant, we see our commitment to others. How do we then live together in community? And the word that he uses, I like, it comes from Acts 2. It's koinonia, having everything in common, koinonia, the community. And I think that that's really important for us because if we don't understand covenant, if we don't understand commitment, but understand that God enters into a commitment with us, what we do is secondary. Because, to be honest with you, it's the same with the word decision, right? How many of you have heard in the Lutheran church say, you got to make a decision? I don't think you'll hear that very often. We kind of have a thing with that, you know. I used to let, Laura knows this, at confirmation we always used to sing that wonderful song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And we always made sure that we sang it during confirmation, which is at the end of the service. Why? Because it's not about our salvation, but it's about how we live out our commitment to God in our everyday lives. Because we make thousands of decisions every day, don't we? To say we don't make decisions is really foolish. It's kind of like saying, well, we have nothing to do with this commitment. Because don't we make decisions whether we stay committed to things? Exercise programs, diets, prayer times, devotional times, our jobs. Yes, exactly. Addictions. We make decisions all the time. And what I'm asking us as we delve into this whole idea of commitment is to understand that we make decisions, but what are we basing the decisions on? Are we basing the decisions on our failures and saying, well, I'm just gonna work to be better than the person next to me so that I feel better? Or are we comparing our commitment to the commitment that Christ makes to us or God makes to us in Christ? Because if we are, then we're going to fall on His grace. And we're going to get the power to keep these commitments by the power of the Holy Spirit that He promises that we read in Hebrews 2. We're not going to be doing it on our own. So I'll just be honest with you. I am really lousy at keeping commitments on my own. And I think, if you've gotten to know me, that, and this is my military side, I think I'm pretty good when it comes to self-discipline. Comparatively. I can always find people who are worse than me. It's always nice about that. But, you know, I, having had that experience and having been in leadership, I think it's important to have self-discipline. But I can tell you that what we're talking about here is understanding the commitment that God has made to us. When He cuts a covenant with us, it is with blood. With Abram, it was the blood of the animals that He laid out and Abram walked through. And if you can read this in Genesis, and then God came through with a lamp. Represented by a lamp. But it was the blood of the covenant. It was the blood of the covenant that was in the Old Testament, in the temple. And now the blood of the covenant is Jesus. When we take the Lord's Supper today, I will be doing the words of institution. It says right in the words of institution, this is my blood of the covenant shed for you. Because He makes the commitment to us. He is the one who does it all. That's why this picture just struck me. I just kept coming back to it as I was looking at it. What is commitment? It's not so much what we do, but it's all about what God wants to do, right? Isn't that hand there inviting? He's inviting us. He's saying, I want you to grow. I want you to grow. Come with me. I want to show you what I've got planned for you, what I've got designed for you, he's just the most amazing loving father, loving coach. He just wants the best for us. And He invites us, and all He says is, are you willing to come? Are you willing? Because He's done it all. He's done it all. Brothers and sisters, where are you at today? Are you still thinking when you hear the word commitment or covenant or sacrifice or submission and all these things that it's up to us? Because really, it doesn't start with us. It starts with God. Our part is small. Our part is simply saying yes to God. Because it's His invitation. It's His work. I want to close with one of my favorite verses in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Anybody know that verse? Somebody want to say it? Nobody wants to say it? Not putting it up here. I'm not. I want to hear you say it. For it is, okay, thank you, Dad. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by your own works. It is a gift of God. Sorry? Should boast. But what I want to get to is you're created in Christ Jesus for a purpose, right? You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for a purpose. Brothers and sisters, it is so important that we understand that God has a plan for us. He's designed us. He's entered into a covenant with us. He wants to see us achieve what he has planned for us. Are you ready to say yes to the Lord? Can you say yes to the Lord? Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have designed us to live in that commitment that you have made to us. It's not about what we do, it's about what you've done. Yet, Lord, as we receive you, as you are our Lord and Savior, we then move on to making decisions as to whether we continue in this commitment that you have set forth for us. We are your workmanship, created by you for a purpose. Lord, help us to seek your will, to walk in your ways, to honor your commitment to us so we can honor our commitment to one another. Lord, help us to be the people you called us to be so we can walk deeper and worthy in your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.